You may be seated. Praise God. 100 people already this week giving their hearts to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Man, I am righteously proud. I said I am righteously proud, not ungodly proud, but righteously proud to be in a church like that. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I talk to ministers quite often. I mean, they just space out. Oh, praise God. That's hard to comprehend. Why should it be? That's the way it ought to be. My Lord God, that's the way it ought to be. It's the way the church ought to be, the way believers ought to be. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sunday's going to be a great day. All the years I've preached in this church, I don't know that when I've ever sensed a greater anointing than I sensed Sunday. To God be the glory. Amen. Thank you, Brother David King, for the message Sunday night, giving us the Word of God. Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you just got disqualified. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. Turn with us tonight to the very first psalm. The very first psalm. The very first psalm. Psalms number 1. Blessed. Not cursed, but blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're not for real. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Something just keeps going over and over and over in my spirit. For those of us and for anyone anywhere that have heard the word over and over and over again, heard it from pastors, heard it from evangelists, heard it from teachers, heard it from a Sunday school class, they've read the word. They've heard, in an area like this, you can hear it by radio. You can hear it and see it by television. It's time that the body of Christ stand up and be the church. And the thing that my pastor's heart cries for, you know, we're not just standing up here just as a religious exercise. I look at this for myself. I've already looked at this for myself. I read it quite often and look in the mirror of Psalms 1. This is one of those psalms that tells it like it really is. Well, how do you know a real believer when you... Well, here it is right here. Now, I know this is Old Testament, but every principle here I could take to the New Testament and give you many scriptures for every principle and everything that is spoken in Psalms 1. There's one thing that I desire, and I believe you desire, and that is to be blessed of God. Deuteronomy 28 speaks of blessing, the blessing of God. God came to Abraham so long ago and said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Blessing is good. A curse is not good. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And the greatest desire I could have for me, for you, for all of us here tonight, you know, there are different kinds of services and different times and different seasons. There are services when Sunday morning, it was just like lightning bolts from heaven were just flashing in this room. And this auditorium was literally, to me, vibrating with the power and the presence of the Lord as I ministered. And then there's a midweek service, just like right now, when we deal with basics. But most people, most believers, don't miss it on the heavy revy thing. They miss it on the basics. Where the church is falling, any church is falling, or any minister is falling short today, is overlooking or not taking seriously or having had a grip on, but relaxed their grip on basic truth. Basic truth is so desperately needed in the house of God today. Basic truth. You say, what do you mean basic truth? Well, it's a good illustration right across the street from us. There's been a lot there ever since we've lived in that neighborhood. And that's around 21 years. And it's a lot that's on different levels, about three or four levels. And it's kind of on a slope, kind of on a downhill slope, but a lot of houses in that area have had foundation challenges. And when we met with those that are building that house, I spoke up in a neighborhood meeting, and I said, well, let me just tell you something from my heart, because we put many extra piers under our place. We got a bargain sale, and we found out why we got a bargain sale. But anyway, we put a lot of piers down, to hold and to secure. In this hour in which we live, what little thing does it take to flip your switch? What little thing does it take? I won't be back. What little thing? I'm not going to sing again. You know, and I'm not being tacky. What little thing can Satan do? What little yank on your chain can he bring to get you all bent out of shape? And everything's been so good for so long, and all of a sudden everything's all bad. That's what I'm talking about. Joe and I have a wedding anniversary coming up. We were married in 1954. Very unusual nowadays. But we're not married because we never had a test. We're not married today or tonight because we were never tested. We're married because we adjusted to the challenges of life and refused to let some little stupid something turn into some big stupid something. You know what I mean? You know, refuse to let Satan come and trip you on one thing and then destroy a lot of other things that God has accomplished in your life. A marriage of longevity, and I know everyone does not have that exact privilege, but I thank God with all my heart for a good wife and for all these years, and God has blessed us. She's been a wonderful encouragement to me, and I meet people all the time said, you just don't know. Your wife prayed with me in a difficult time, and ministers' wives that tell me that they're still in the ministry today because of counsel that Joy gave, maybe in a conference or wherever we would go. But what I'm saying, you know, really, believers, The believers I pastor, I have a passionate desire for us not to be little cameo Christians. You know, we look good, we smell good, we bubble good, and we run good, and we shout good, and we pogo stick up and down good, and then you disappear. I mean, this is the greatest church you've ever found, greatest pastor. Didn't know they make pastors like that, and your pastor's wife, oh, dear, just an angel on earth, and then they disappear. Well, now that happens in all churches and happens in all ministries. But you know, the greatest desire that I have is that we be shockproof by the grace of God as much as possible, foolproof. We don't get hooked by every little crazy thing that comes along, you know, that everything doesn't send us into orbit. Well, I heard's gotten more people into trouble. I heard has gotten more people into trouble. Really, it has. My desire for you and my desire for me and for all of my family is that our peers go deep down to the rock. And we're established in basic truth. That when the enemy comes in, and I promise you he will try to come in. But when the enemy comes in, that like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. Amen. If I discovered years ago, I could spend hours every week going over every little bump in the road, every little nitpicking, every little speed bump in somebody's road, and then find out they've been to 6 other staff members and gave them the same story, taking that time. I tell you, I wouldn't have enough strength or breath to carry on. Amen. That's why we preach the Word of God in this church. And the Bible said, blessed, not cursed, but blessed. I believe I'm ministering to a blessed crowd tonight. And of course, there's neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. So blessed is the man or blessed is the woman that does not run with or walk in ungodly counsel. God forbid when your world blows up that you call some stupid unbeliever or some gossiper or someone that's never had their life together, and hun, what do you think about this? You might as well strike a match while you're filling up your car with gasoline. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman that walketh not in ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel is counsel that does not agree with the teaching of God's word. Ungodly is not godly. Ungodly is the furthest thing from godly. Blessed is the man or the woman that does not walk in ungodly counsel. Doesn't walk there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I found out the best thing to do when you don't understand, and when you don't understand what you don't understand, is to get on your knees and open your Bible and say, Lord, it may be not my brother nor my sister, but me, O Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. And stay there until God speaks to your heart. But don't seek ungodly counsel. I'm amazed there's people I wouldn't spend any time talking, because I know where they've been. I know where they've been. I know where they've been. I know who they've been talking to. I've known them enough. Oh, you say you're hard tonight, Pastor. No. My time's worth something too. My life's worth something too. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When something happens that you don't understand, go to the Lord in prayer. And then if you need further counsel, go to someone who is godly, someone who has a good track record. Don't go to 5 or 6 people and get everybody's opinion. You'll be more confused than when you started. Amen. I know when we were downtown, we hit an era when we just had to draw a line in the sand, because one day it dawned on us, and I don't know why we didn't catch on quicker, that there were several things going on, and they'd make every one of our staff people before they ever got to me, and then, you know, there we go. All right, I hope I've made a point there. Praise God. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Word of God in prayer. Just sit still in a rocking chair, if you can still find one somewhere. And just rock and pray in the Spirit, and rock and pray in the Spirit with a cup of hot coffee or tea. And just stay there until the peace of God floods your heart. Until, really, that doesn't make any difference anyway. I'm a believer. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. Let me get out of this chair. Let's go do something for God. Let's go find somebody that needs Jesus. I'm going to spend the rest of my day walling around in this. All right. So God's blessed person does not walk in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, ungodly counsel or advice. They don't stand in the way of sinners. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't witness to sinners. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying, you know, sinners. To witness to a sinner is the way you get them saved. But you don't spend your time. I mean, it was amazing to me in some things that we faced in the last few short years. Well, my best friend, and they were rotten to the bone. Rotten to the bone. Well, you eat rotten meat, your tummy going to protest. Amen. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't listen to what they've got to say. Don't go where they are. Amen. I went into a place one day just to get a barbecue sandwich, and boy, I'd hardly gotten through the door. I thought, I am not in the right place. I am not in the right place. There's more going on there than Bud, I'm telling you. It was more going on than Bud. And the language and the scenery, and I got myself out of there. I'll fast today. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three ways to be blessed. You don't walk in ungodly counsel. You don't stand in the way of sinners, or I mean, you know, just spend all your time with them and listen to what they have to say. And you don't sit in the... See, sitting means you're not standing. You're there for a while. You're there for a while. You're there for a while. You know, I didn't have time to... I've studied it out before. I don't know where the study matter is. It's somewhere in all of my stuff. But that word scorn, scornful, and scorneth are bad words. Bad words. And just check out Mr. Strong's concordance on that. But what they mean is to mock. A scorner is a mocker. A scorner is a scoffer. A scorner makes mouths at. You know how your children have done sometimes? And that meant the wrath of God in our house when I was a little guy. You don't make faces at mama or daddy. It's one that is full of bitterness and scorn. This is why, I don't mean to be mean-spirited about it, but that's why I've never felt good about stand-up comics, because they make a living, or wish they could make a living, by making fools out of other people. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. You'll get extra points for your class tonight, I promise you. God will bless you and give you extra points. I was out at Forest Park with one of our, I believe it was Janet, and they had Boo at the Zoo, and then it dawned on me when I got there what that was all about. Anyway, but There was a comic out there. He's a cheap comic. What I mean, he obviously couldn't get a job anywhere else. But anyway, there was an old gentleman, a grandfather, who had three little grandchildren with him. And to look at his slacks, I don't know if they could have even come from, well, I don't know. There's no telling. I mean, he was not a street person, but I mean, he just wasn't slick dressed. And that stand-up comic made a fool out of that old man in front of the whole crowd. And he said, "You probably got your polyester pants at Walmart." And just, I'm not knocking Walmart, I'm not knocking polyester pants, but I mean, he just literally made a fool. But you know, the old man, God bless him, he didn't seem to pick up on what was happening. And I guess that was the grace of God. Here's a grandfather with his little grandchildren gone to the park, you know, just having a pleasant evening. And here's a fool trying to make a fool out of a wise man. This is not a shouting message. Means to mock, to scoff. A mocker, to make mouths at. One full of bitterness and scorn. Remember years ago when we were in our early days of Bible college, and we hit one semester when, I don't know where they came from, but we had a handful of people that just weren't just real sweet Christian spirited. And I kept noticing something was strange in that class. I was teaching that class, and I gave them the assignment of their term theme was on scorn and strife. Give me every reference, give me every meaning. And boy, some of them came, "I thought this was a word church. I thought this was a faith church." I wanted to say under my breath, I did too. But I was in prayer, and that's what God told me to do. He said, make that the term. Well, I mean, it really wasn't in, it wasn't in harmony with everything else we were studying necessarily, but their grade depended on it, so they did it. You know, that brought a spirit of repentance in our school at that time. Even in Bible college, people can get, they can get their priorities crossed. You know, they can get their ideas. They can get some funny ideas and super spiritual ideas or grandiose ideas. And it really, I had people come and said, "Pastor, thank you for that assignment. It really gave me understanding in something I've never really had understanding." And I realized that some of us have been operating in scorn and strife. Oh, you know, the Bible, oh, Proverbs 20 and 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's an honor. When you realize that's what you're into, quit it. You know, get out of it by God's help. In Proverbs 26, 20, where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Strife and scorn will ruin your life. It hurts a church. It'll hurt a department in a church. In Proverbs, I believe it's 28:25, a proud heart stirreth up strife. So, see, pride's involved. Pride's involved. Pride's in, a proud heart stirreth up strife. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I didn't have time to really study it out like I wanted to. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife. An angry man. He's mad about something, so he's going to take it out on someone else. I mean, it just goes on. 1 Corinthians 3:3, envying and strife and divisions. Paul said these things shouldn't be. Envying and strife and divisions. Spirit-filled believers should not have that kind of an attitude or that kind of activity going on. Galatians 5:20, emulations, wrath, and strife and seditions are dealt with here. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife. Let nothing. Let nothing. Don't do anything. Don't teach a lesson. Don't preach a sermon. Don't sing a song because of strife. Amen. Oh, my. Praise 1 Timothy 6:4. Whereof cometh envy, strife, and railings. I don't have time to give you the full thing here, but you can check it out in Dr. Strong's. James 3:14, envying and strife in your hearts. Don't have that in your hearts. It's a thing that comes from the heart. James 3:16, for where there is envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. There's a reason some so-called believers are such mean people, are such vindictive people, because their heart's not right. Amen. Oh, my. So where strife and confusion, there is every evil work. And James 3:14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, well, I'm just paraphrasing, said you're a liar. Amen. Praise God. So it's to quarrel, it's discord, it's contention, it's controversy, speaking and stirring up strife. And you know, going back to Abraham, the words, when he said, let there be no strife among us. You remember when Abraham and Lot and their herdsmen got into it? The word takes a little, it is virtually the same meaning, but it takes a little different. But the first one is becoming judgmental. And you know, well, we don't need to be judging one another. Amen. I said, we don't need to be judging one another. Amen. Being judgmental. And so the herdsmen started judging one another. And before long, you know where that got into? It got into strife. Stirring up strife. Quarrelsome. Quarreling. Until it was just like, we had some bees one time in a house where we used to own. And I went out to the garage one day and I heard a hum. Just a high energy hum. And some bees had a, whatever bees do, behind the freezer. And I pulled that thing out. And I mean, there was a major bee operation. And it was a loud hum. I mean, they were in business. Praise God. So the thing that I would just like to say to us tonight, you know, life's complicated enough without making it more complicated. Praise God. It's just time to grin and shout the victory and pray in the Spirit. And realize, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What you say, what's the antidote to that? Well, verse 2 in Psalms 1, verse 2, here's the antidote. But his or her delight is. I mean, what's the answer to these ugly things that I've been talking about? Your delight being the law of the Lord doesn't mean you keep the Ten Commandments to be saved, but it's in the Word of God. And in His Word, God's Word, does He meditate day and night. When you meditate in God's Word, it'll clean your clock. It'll settle you down. I mean, all of a sudden, things that seem like they were so important won't be so important. And you know what I'm talking about here? Every once in a while, something arises. I know of nothing. I know of nothing tonight. I just have a clear, clean shot here. But, you know, I was called to Rhema one time by the Hagans, and a spirit of controversy got loose in Rhema. And they knew that I'd been through some things. They asked me to come up and just drop the hammer and talk about what I'm, in a little deeper depth, what I'm talking about tonight. But, you know, here's the thing. Whether it's a Holy Ghost Bible school or a Holy Ghost outreach or a Holy Ghost music, whatever we're into, you know, Satan will do his best to get us all crosswise. Amen. Because have you ever tried to drive your car in forward and reverse at the same time? Don't try it. Don't try it. Amen. Don't try it. My grandson, he saw some of these stunt people, and he tried that once to go in circles, you know, with the power. I don't know what he had in mind, but it didn't work. Ask his father. It did not work. Amen. You can't go in forward and reverse at the same time, no matter how good a driver you are. But here's the antidote. God's Word. God's Word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I should not sin against thee. Now, I know it seemed like we dwelt on the negative, but you know, stuff I just got through talking about is what tears churches to pieces, can tear a Bible school to pieces, can tear a family to pieces, can tear a marriage, quarrelsome situations and strife and division and words. But oh, when you meditate on the Word of God, that's what Psalms 119 is all about. Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. God's Word. It'll clean your clock. It'll settle you down. It'll get you back on the right track. It'll get your train back on the track. Your words, my words are not going to work. You know, you get in a quarrelsome situation and you just keep trying to drive it with words, you ain't going nowhere, honey. You ain't, whether it's a marriage or a business partnership or whatever. Once words are crosswise, you got a derailment going on. You get a train off the track. There's few things as helpless as a train off the track. Even airplanes have to land on runways. They can't land on railroad tracks. They have to land where they're supposed to land. Trains have to run where they're supposed to run. It's God's way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Honey, there's only one way that works, and it's God's way. It's God's words. Well, every time I say that, he gets mad. Well, you just answered your own problem, didn't you? Seemed like there's something you don't need to be saying anymore. Or she doesn't need to be saying anymore. This is where the rubber meets the road. But his delight is in the Word of God. Because God's Word is always right. God is always right. God's Word is always right. God's never wrong. God's never been wrong. Hallelujah. Oh, and look at verse 3. You getting anything out of the Word of God tonight? I got to hurry up here. And he shall be. Well, how do you know a right-on believer? Let me show you what a right-on believer acts like, looks like, what it's all about here in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. He shall be. What shall he be? Not a mess. Amen. Not mean-spirited. Not divisive. He shall be like a tree. Like a tree. Like a tree. And you say, well, what kind of a tree? I'm glad you asked that question because the rest of the verse answers that. Like a tree. It's planted by the rivers of water. A good tree, a healthy tree, it's got to have water. Healthy trees got to have water. Hallelujah. You can't live by soap operas. You can't live by porn. You can't live by listening to the... I mean, how much news do you need to listen to? Planted, a planted tree. But the tree's not only planted, it has roots. Rivers, by the rivers of water. A tree, a planted tree, a tree by the rivers of water. A tree that bringeth forth his fruit, bringeth forth his fruit. You say, well, I don't see any fruit in their life. Well, you want to eat the rest of it? No fruit, no root. No fruit, no reality. No fruit, just religious pretense. Got a mask on. That bringeth forth his fruit. A good tree brings forth fruit. Good fruit, consistent good fruit, in his season. It's not just when he gets in the mood, he decides he's going to bring forth some fruit. It's knowing when to do, when not to do, when to say and when not to say. It's knowing when to do what in the kingdom of God. There's a time to not say a word. There's a time... Not just don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say a word. Hallelujah. Boy, you're looking at me strange tonight. You say, well, I just got to say something. Oh, yeah, okay. Then it'll take you 30 days to try to clean that up. We're going to have to get smart. We're going to have to get wiser in the kingdom of God. Time's too precious to spend all our time cleaning up messes. Time's too short. Too many sinners need to be saved. The work of God needs to go forward. We need to pray in the power tower. We need to go out and witness. There's a work to do. There's a job to accomplish. There's kingdom business. A tree, a planted tree, doesn't move around. Doesn't move around. It can be done. We have some people in this church every once in a while. Those that know me well have heard me say, you know, it really can be done. Look at so-and-so. It can be done. It can be done. You can do the right thing. You can hold steady when everything else is shaking. You can grin and bear it. You can keep your mouth shut when you need to. You can do it. You can speak the word of God. You can speak only the word when that's appropriate to speak. It's knowing when to do and what to do and how to do. A tree planted. You know, strong trees don't move around. Strong trees don't move around. They make a move, it's the right move, and their roots just go down. Planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in the right season. In the right season. Well, I just always seem to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Read Psalms 1, I'm talking to you. When in doubt, amen. I'll say something real tacky. Better to keep your mouth shut than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay, let's move on here. I didn't give you the full treatment on that one. His leaf shall not wither. Consistent. Oh, whoo, brother, I just felt you're the one I could call today and you could pray with me and glory. Whoa. Excuse me, wrong number. I thought I had me an intercessor here. I got a transgressor is what I got. Woo! Excuse me, Bubba. Don't want to stir your nest any further. Hallelujah. His leaf shall not wither. Hallelujah. Your leaf, my leaf, our leaf shall not wither. Uphill, downhill, good Sundays, trying Sundays, good seasons in a church, trying seasons. You just keep on doing what God told you last. It can be done. It can be done. Hallelujah. Lord God, this is a Sunday morning message, and you're a minister on Wednesday night. All right. No apology. Bringeth forth his leaf shall not wither. Oh God, help me. Help me when someone needs help, when someone needs prayer, when someone needs courage or encouragement. Help me to be that steady rock. Help me, just help me, Lord. Praise God. And the word of God said, whatsoever he or she doeth shall prosper. Now, this is the most difficult part of this message. You know what everything in God's word comes down to? Believe it, read it, believe it with all your heart. And get a bulldog grip on it and don't let go and see it come to pass. This stuff doesn't work because I just read it. Well, what I'm doing is I'm probably, your mouth is, they need to sew that thing close. No, really, whatsoever. Do you know God said that about you if you'll believe it? God said that about me if I believe it? Whatsoever he doeth. I gave in that offering. I've given in that church. Now I lost my job. Preacher on these prosperity preachers. Everybody believes in prosperity. Everybody wants their piece of pie. Everybody does. You're not normal if you don't want to pay your bills on time. If you don't want to be able to pay your rent or your house payment or your car payment. I mean, unless you want to respond to life as you should respond. I didn't say go out and make foolish obligations, but I mean, you know, it's a God-given thing to excel in life. To excel in life. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Beloved, 3 John 2. Beloved, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But I'm telling you, I'm asking God, just open up that window of your spirit. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I need some of that. I need some of that in my finances. I need some of that. Lord, I receive what Pastor Bob Nichols is preaching. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah, Lord, I heard that. You know what, Lord? I believe that. That's what Paul said in Acts 27. I heard the word, and I believe God. I believe God. And I'm going to say further what Paul said. It shall be even as God has said. It shall be. Well, that happens to everybody else, and it never will happen. Yeah. Yep. It's time to get a checkup from the neck up. Whatsoever. I mean, you need to go to, I mean, if you're on top of the heap, you need to go to sleep tonight. Just say, whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. Wake up to get a glass of water or something necessary. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. Wake up in the morning. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. I don't care how I feel or what's around. Whatsoever I doeth, it will prosper. Well, I'm too old for that. No, you're never too young. You're never too old. I said, you're never too young. You're never too old. Hallelujah. God's word works for those who read it, those who believe it, and those who embrace it, put it into practice. I'm helping you now. Remember, we started off with blessed, and Psalms 1 ends with perish. Which do you want, blessed or perish? Blessed. You do it God's way, blessed. Do it our way, don't turn out real good. Things don't turn out good. And you can't blame God, and you can't blame the church, you can't blame the preacher. Amen. You know, every once in a while, it happens in every church. It happens over the years. Someone tells somebody, say, I don't think Pastor likes me. I said, man, I don't have time to be mad at anybody. Amen. What you say? Amen. I don't have time to be mad at anybody. Do you? Oh, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatsoever he doeth. The Bible said the ungodly are not so. I say this. My heart is sad as I read this, because the ungodly, they're not the real deal. But they're like chaff. Not like good wheat or good seed. They're just like stuff the wind blows away, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Folks, we're going somewhere. And we're going to be on one side of the ledger or the other. We're going somewhere, and we're going to be on one side of the ledger or on the other. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And you know, one of the sweetest verses in the Bible has to be here at verse 6. For the Lord knoweth. Oh God, thank you. No one understands like Jesus. No one loves like Jesus. The Lord knoweth. He knoweth. He knows what you've been through. He knows what's around you. He knows the challenges that are before. The Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. God knows. God cares. God knows. God cares. And God changes things. Shila bokora kashe katai. Well, I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy, as Brother Hagin used to say. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed. I'm going to hold on to the blessed. Blessed. Not the perish. Not the perish, but blessed. I didn't hit you that hard, did I? Dear God, come on now. Come on, come back to life now. Glory to God. It's all right to clap. It's all right to smile. It's all right to shout hallelujah. It's all right to be revived. Come on now. Hallelujah. How many blessed people do we have here tonight? Oh, we're going to do it God's way, right? We're going to do it God's way. Hallelujah. We're going to do it God's way. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I wonder how many blessed folks are going to jump up and just run down here and let's have a final shout here. Glory to God.